Okay, so we're rolling. So this is Jeffrey. Could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background, who you are?
Sure. My name is Jeffrey Carraway. I'm a native Methodian, born and bred, raised here. I had my own home improvement business for over 30-something years, but I got sick. I developed cancer, and it sickened my body real bad, and I couldn't work anymore. So therefore, I was put out of my home. I lost my home. I was put out of my home, and I became homeless. And my situation with my physical being got, you know, it worsened. Therefore, you know, I wound up staying in a shelter. An individual told me about the HUB and how they help people, you know, that were going through having the same problems and situations that I was dealing with, you know, and so I inquired, you know, and they found a place for me.
Can you talk about that experience of being homeless? What would you want people to know what that's like?
Man, I'm gonna keep it real with you. There's no pleasure in it. You know, you can't help from dwelling on your situation, especially if you're homeless and you're unemployed, whatever reason it might be, to not have shelter, the proper shelter, to be able to provide for your needs and things that it takes to live in society, just in life in general, every day, you know, such as being able to bathe, and watch television or go in the kitchen and fix you something to eat and things of that nature, just regular common things that everyday people do. To not be fortunate enough or able to do that is very strenuous. And then not having anywhere to lay your head at night, you know, to rest, you know, when you get tired. Having to be out in the elements of the world, meaning the rain, the cold, the heat, you know, and not having your own place to go to. You know, I thank God for the churches in Memphis and well all around the world. And the HUB situation that, you know, that lends a hand, you know, that show that, you know, there's people still care, you know, about people that, you know, when they fall short, you know, of their responsibilities, whether, you know, regardless of what it may be. You know, I myself am truly grateful, and I like to encourage others, you know, to just reach out, you know, talk to somebody, you know, and address your issue. There are places out here that will help you, you know, as long as you strive, continue to strive and just not give up. Because if you accept what you have, then that's all you're going to have. But if you keep climbing and reaching and praying as well, then there's always a way out.
How long had you been homeless?
Well, I was home before the hub got this apartment for me. I was homeless right at a little over 2 years, say maybe about 26 months, something like that. But I'm pretty sure, in fact, I have some associates, you know, that's been homeless, you know, 10, 15 years and maybe longer, you know, and know other people that, you know, have had good jobs, you know, and you know, and had their own home and, you know, and living life, you know, and enjoying life, you know, and now, you know, due to their situation, they found themselves just merely existing.
How did you find a place to sleep at night? How did you find food?
Well, I did a lot of eating at the shelters, you know, and at churches. You know, meeting and greeting other people that were going through the same situation that I was going through, being homeless. Excuse me, I met, you know, I crossed paths with a lot of other people in the same situation. And they, excuse me. So they gave me insight on where to go to get clothing, where to go, you know, where they was feeding at, you know, on a daily basis. And you know, places you could even go to take a shower, you know, and get a fresh, you know, fresh set of clothing to put on, you know, things of that nature. I will say this about the homeless, you know, you have a few, you know, that, you know, choose to, you know, be stuck on stupid, but there are, you know, majority of homeless people, you will find that they are very intelligent people, you know, and they will, you know, they will spread the word. Like, in other words, if they find out that let's say, just as an example, say, okay, Monday, you know, they're going to be feeding down at the hub. You know, then that word would get passed on, you know, from one homeless person to another, you know, trying to help one another and, you know, looking out for one another, making sure that we all eat. But I have family, you know, but I've never been one, you know, to lean on people. I always had been fortunate enough, you know, to, you know, handle my own, you know. But like I say, after I got sick and things of that nature, and then you would find that your so-called friends, that, therefore I don't address them as friends, I address them as associates. Because, you know, when you're down and out, you really find out who your true friends are.
So you would say that once you started to experience homelessness, that, you know, people started treating you differently?
Yes. Yes, you know, the ones that, let's say at one point in time in my life, I was able, and they could depend on me. You know, if they needed help, you know, and any way I could help them, then, you know, I had no problem with assisting them with whatever they need. Now, there was a few, you know, that, you know, I still could count on, but, you know, most people are like, if you, you know, they know about your situation, they might let you stay a night or two, you know. And, but then, you know, so soon we change, you know, that won't last long, I assure you, especially if you don't have anything to give them.
The way that you view homeless people change once you were in the situation?
You mean the other homeless people there was?
Like before you experienced it, you were seeing somebody that was homeless. Does your view of what they were possibly experiencing changed after your experience?
Well, no. It really just after my experience, it really had given me an insight on what homeless is all about. Being homeless is, you know, the duality of being homeless. You know what I'm saying? You know, because again, like I stated, any time that I, you know, would cross a path with a homeless person, and if they ask for something, you know, then, you know, if I had it, you know, and sometimes even if I didn't have it, then, you know, I would give what I could, regardless of whatever they did with it, because, you know, as being a believer, you know, and a Christian, you know, I was taught, you know, at a young age that, you know, if you have to give, you know, because see, if I help a homeless person out, you know, trying to help them, you know, then regardless of what they do with what I give to them, that's going to be on them. You know, I just do what's actually me.
So once you came to the hub, what was that like? You've never been before. So when you came, what was the experience like? What did you think about it?
Well, when I came, the time that, excuse me, I came, people were everywhere. Homeless people were everywhere, especially, you know, in the fall time of year, you know, because the weather's cold, you know. And I mean, it was people everywhere, man. And you know, an individual that I met at a shelter had informed me about the hub and that they were working on trying to get him a place to stay. And so, you know, we talked about it, and he, you know, told me what I needed to do, you know, and, you know, directed me here to the hub. And so I came down and I spoke with Ms. Bailey, you know, and everything, and some of the other workers in there, you know. And I'm very pleased with the outcome because, you know, they were very considerate. You know, and they were very caring, you know, and they listen, and you know, and it means much more when the individual listens, you know, because if people can lend an ear, you know, but if they don't really hear you, they can't feel you, you know, they can't see your sorrow, they can't see your pain, you know, they can't really feel what you're going through, you know, but if an individual really cares and has some true concern, you know, then you know you could tell, you know, the ones that, you know, are really concerned about, you know, and there are people that really feel bad to see people in, you know, in that type of predicament, especially the homeless that you see that has accepted it, you know, and pretty much just giving up, you know, on life, you know, on striving and trying to do better, you know. Because then, you know, once they accept it, then they just let go, you know. They just, you know, they just say it is what it is, you know. And, you know, so they go day by day, you know, wherever they have to go to try to feed themselves, you know, or try to get, you know, clothing, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And but, you know, I want to encourage everyone that's dealing with this type of situation that there's always hope. Huh? And there's an old saying, say you might slow up, but don't give up. Don't accept it and say it is what it is. Huh? Believe, you know, and trust in the good Lord, you know, and know that, you know, He will always make a way of escape. He always will make a way out for you. But you yourself have to keep striving, keep reaching, keep climbing. You know, I mean, it's just every day in life. Let's take it, let's use this as an example. If a person wasn't homeless, you know, then that person still will have to work every day, am I right? Still, you know, in order to provide for his family, you know, in order to have a roof over his head, you know, transportation, food on the table, you know, so that individual is still striving, you know, still reaching, still climbing, trying to reach their goals. But certain homeless people, especially after being, you know, in that situation for so long, you know, and especially if they come out of poverty from the beginning, then they have a tendency to start leaning on crutches, meaning drinking and drugging and things of that nature. And once they get caught up in that, along with the other issues of life, you know, being homeless and, you know, finances are at their lowest, you know, not being able to feed themselves, not having anywhere to stay, you know, so it makes it even harder, you know, so they begin to lean on a crutch, you know, whether it be alcohol or drugs or something, you know, and they just, that causes them to accept, what they're dealing with, you know, and not really being, you know, trying to seek or find a way out.
Did you, when you were going through your cancer?
I'm still going through the cancer.
What was the most difficult period?
Well, I was, since we just mentioned the cancer, when the cancer first hit, because I have an enlarged prostate and colon cancer, you know, and it was very personal because of where the cancer was in my body and the things that I was having to do, you know, for myself and not being able to keep myself clean and, you know, and things, you know, to do for myself what was, you know, necessary on a daily basis, you know, 2 and 3 times a day I needed to, you know, bathe or wash up or something, you know, due to my situation, you know. And I would say at that period of time, along with my sickness and along with being homeless, you know, it was really rough for me, you know. But again, I didn't give up, you know, I did not give up, I refused to.
Your situation is not because of drug use,
no,
or bad financial decisions or economy.
No. Because see, like I said, from the beginning, I had my own home improvement business, you know, and stayed busy, plenty of work, you know. Was able, you know, to keep a roof over my head, you know, and shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, you know, and, you know, food on my table and things of that nature, you know, the necessities of everyday life. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, like I say, the sickness, when the sickness hit, the cancer hit me, then that bit, I lost a lot of weight, which I'd never been, you know, too much in size, you know, in structure anyway, you know. But if I may say so myself, I believe I carried well. But anyway, how you doing? But anyway, you know, it was, like I say, it was due to my illness, you know, and I couldn't work anymore. You know, and you know, man, you know, it's just like, well, even the people that, you know, that the party type people, you know, they said that, you know, when your money's gone, so are your friends, your so-called friends anyway, you know, so it's hard to get people to, you know, help you and this and that. You know, I had a couple of associates that, you know, they say, man, just come on by, man, you know, if you need to freshen up or, you know, you need something to eat, man, or maybe even if you need a few dollars or something, if I got it, man, you know, just call me, man, you know, and just come on by, you know. Yeah.
you have any health care or anything like that to help out?
No. No, I didn't have any of that.
What are your thoughts around all of that?
And I'm like, man, simply because, okay, well, yes, I had Obamacare at one time. Yes, I did. Now that I thought about it. But the thing of it was, when I got sick, it had collapsed. And I didn't know that I had to get it renewed. I just thought maybe, you know, the insurance was from the government, so, you know, as long as I lived, I would have had the insurance, but that wasn't so. Therefore, I couldn't get the medicine, you know, that I needed. So therefore I was in a lot of pain. You know, I was suffering a lot. You know, I was very miserable. On top of being homeless and stuff like that, man, it really took me through something.
Did COVID have any kind of impact on it? Did you have any kind of anxiety around that?
The COVID and stuff like that? Well, it slowed everything up because I applied for my disability, you know, and stuff like that. So, and that slowed up all of the processing of that, you know, and that made me have to continue just to go through and deal with what I was dealing with even longer, you know, because of the COVID, because, you know, most businesses shut down, people were working from home and stuff like that, you know. So, yeah, it had an impact on, you know, on my situation at the time.
Feel like now you're getting some support and help that you need?
Yes, exactly. They finally granted me my disability, my Social Security and everything, so I don't have to work anymore, so that's my finances, you know, and I have health care now, so I can, you know, be able to get the medicine, you know, the proper treatment that I need, you know. So I won't be in so much pain and things of that nature, you know, but yeah, things are looking up, you know.
Do you have anything like you may want to say to men about health, getting things looked at, and particularly like your
community? Yes, sure. I would like to encourage the brothers as well as the sisters that are homeless to do your best to take care of yourself, especially do your best to stay clean. There are places all around the city that will kindly feed you, that will kindly give you clean clothes. There are even places that would allow you to come in and take a shower and give you fresh clothes, clean clothes to put on your back and shoes on your feet and things of that nature. especially, you know, being that I know how it is, you know, a lot of homeless people, you know, sleep where they can, man. You might not see them sleeping on the side of the road, man, sleeping on the porch, doorsteps and porches and things of that nature, you know, just wherever they can, especially if there's, you know, some like a little awning or something over the top to keep them out of the rain, you know, keep them from getting wet or something like that. But do your best to stay clean, man, you know, because the way I look at life now, you know, it's based on how you look. If you look good, then the chances are you're gonna feel good, you know, feel better about yourself anyway. But, you know, if you just let yourself go, and then once you finally look in the mirror and see your reflection, you're not gonna like what you see, I guarantee you, because I didn't, you know. And one would always think or feel that, you know, that would never be me, you know, you would never see me, you know, standing in the soup line, you know, and this and that, you know. Well, I'm gonna keep it real now. You know, I wasn't putting it down, you know, the brothers and sisters that I saw in the soup line, but, you know, I was just under the impression, you know, saying to myself, you know, well, you know, I'm gonna do my best for that not to be me. You know, man, I'm gonna try to keep a job, you know, I'm gonna try to, you know, continuously work so I can provide for myself and my family, you know, to avoid having to go through that. You know, but I never, because I hate to see, you know, and it doesn't matter about the color, you know, the color of their skin. I hate to see people suffer like that, because men, oh man, they be stiff people are suffering, man.
Yeah, so like anybody, you just one care incident or one medical cause could put you.
Yeah.
You could be doing great.
Great, that's what I'm saying, man, because like I said, I was having no problems, you know, not a care in the world.
And people that say, oh, no, that would never happen.
Yeah, right, you would think that, you know, it never happened to me. You know, and it's not, I don't look at it to where it's based, a lot of people say, when you look at it from a biblical point of view, that you reap what you sow. Okay, I do my best not to sow bad seeds, you know, so why should I, you know, receive one, you know? But it's just, that's based on life in general, you know? You know, and I, you know, always have been a believer. I go to church, I pay my tithes and things like that, you know? I was doing it before I got sick, and, you know, after I got sick, you know, and got homeless, I couldn't, you know? But after, I got, my situation got better, you know, then, you know, quickly, you know, I started to give back to my church, you know. Because, see, when you give to the churches are the main people that are helping the homeless people now. You know, it'd be churches that feed the homeless, you know, churches that, you know, provide boxes of food for, you know, out of their food pantry for, you know, for families to eat, you know, people with kids and things of that nature. Give them vouchers and stuff, you know, to help them with the utilities and, you know, all the things like that, such as the Hub, you know. The Hubs help people with all that kind of stuff, you know. And that's why I'm truly grateful, you know, for meeting the individuals that work here at the HUB, you know, because again, they were, everybody was very courteous, very polite, very respectful, you know, and most of all, I didn't have a problem with talking to them because, you know, they made me feel comfortable and they made me feel and know that they cared.
So if you had one thing to say to person that may be going through a medical condition, cancer, or something difficult, then they fall into homelessness. As far as finding a way out of that, what's possible?
Well, you would have to go, there's even clinics, Christian Healthcare, I think it is, that will, you can go to, and they will provide you with the medicine that you need.
I mean, like, it's possible to come out of it.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. Like I was.
Should you just be in complete despair, or?
No, that's what you don't want to do. Don't dwell on the situation because it's only going to wear the hell out you and make you feel even worse. You know, and see, as long as you dwell on it, then instead of you being able to, it will enable you to find a way out. Because you dwell on it, and if you dwell on it so long, then you're not focusing on how to come out. You just dwelling on what you're dealing with.
Well, what would you say to that person that doesn't have a good, strong inner spirit to keep them going as far as keeping hope? Knowing that there's places like the Hub to come to get you help.
Well, the best thing I can say is pray. Pray. You know, pray daily. You know, talk to God. You know, give your situation, you know, turn it over to Him and allow Him to direct your path and allow Him to guide you to places like the Hub, to places like the churches that feed people, you know, to places like people that are concerned and can thoughtful and considerate that don't mind helping you, you know, but just don't, you know, don't dwell on it and don't accept it for what it is, you know. If you fall in the hole, you know, that don't mean, you know, you have to stay in the hole, you know. You have to, you know, you know, you have to climb out that hole, you know. Yeah, you know, the Williams brothers said, shake it off and pack it under your feet, huh? You know what I'm saying?
What's next for Mr. Jeffrey?
Well, I'm thinking about, you know, starting, getting back into my singing thing that I used to write songs and sing a lot, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, I'm pursuing that. I'm buying some equipment, you know, to where, you know, maybe do some videos. I want to get into something like that, you know, do some videos and things of that nature, you know.
Sing us a couple of lines or something?
Why not? Thought you'd never ask. Said, there's a light in my life shining over me. Ooh, there's a light in my life Shine over me, yeah, yeah. Shine with blessings from above. Fill with God's precious love. Says there's a light in my life shining over me. Yeah.